Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Oh, It is all about the love of God. It is about living out the fruit of the love of God. You will hear the word love, I don't know how many times today in chapter 4. Would you just take a moment right now as we worship and just close your eyes? And would you just sing this truth you learned as a child with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the secret. You have not hidden it. You have shouted it from the rooftops of the scripture. Father, we can see from Genesis to Revelation your love for your people. God, we can see through Jesus and his sacrifice your love for your people. Father, I'll be honest, I see it from the people in this room. I see it from how we can love and encourage one another. Lord, I see it from other faith families in our city. God, your love is evident, and I'm so thankful for that. But God, there's somebody in here today that is struggling to know if you're real. There's somebody in here today that's struggling with something they did, and they don't know if you can really forgive. They're afraid, Lord, that they are the one exception in all the world's history. They're the one exception to your promise of grace and new life for those that know you. God, I pray right now that they could just grab a hold of the truth and the weight that Jesus loves them. That love is the foundation of the grace of God. So, Father, we thank you for that. We sing it to you one more time. One more time, guys, with your eyes closed. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the friends, we praise the Lord together. If you're participating online, I hope you've already worshiped with us in the last few minutes, and we're thankful for you. If you would take a moment to fill out what the screen will give you a number you can text to, and we encourage you to do so just to let us know you're there. If you're in the room as a guest today, it's an honor to have you. If you could fill out the worship registration, we have a gift to send you in the mail, so you can place it in the offering box, and we have something special for you. It'll arrive this week if you'll give us your address. Thank you for that. Our church of the week that we're praying for this week is Bethlehem Baptist in Smith's Institute. Smith's Institute is a suburb of Sardis, and so it is out in that community. Their pastor, Wayne White, is retiring. He has served so faithfully as pastor there for many, many years. What, such a leader among pastors in our area, and he is retiring, and so we pray for him, and they are getting ready to call a new pastor as well, so very excited for them. Pray for them. And then secondly, our missionary of the week, it's our missionaries of the week are Chris and Laura Hilburn, who are serving in the UK. They are currently in one place, Swinford, but they are praying about the church plant location in Scotland, and so they're trying to figure out where that's to be while they're serving one church currently. So pray for them and for wisdom for what to do there and what that's to look like. Let's lift them up in prayer. One more prayer, and then we'll carry on in worship. Father God, we take a second and we pray for Bethlehem Baptist. We thank you for Wayne White. We thank you for his obedience to the call. We thank you that he has faithfully been able to share the gospel and see many, many people come to know you. Thank you, Father, for his willingness to lead their church by example through missions. Father, they have such a missions heartbeat as a church. Thank you for that. Father, we pray that you would provide great blessing upon them and revival in the days to come. Lord, for Chris and Laura, we're thankful for the ways they have settled into their city and their home. And Lord, we pray that you would give them just divine clarity about where to plant a church in Scotland. You would make it very clear. You would open doors that need to be opened and close ones that need to be closed so that there's no doubt about it. And Father God, for every person in this room, every person listening on the radio, every person participating online, may we all spend the next few moments in complete surrender and complete obedience. Lord, may we focus our mind's attention, our heart's affection on you. Lord, you alone are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a hymn that we've sung for many, many decades called Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand together as we sing this together.
Passing away along with its desires. but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Friends, this morning we encourage you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's sing that together.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's time for a look at the Savior and life for abundant and free.
Turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, we passed and we followed Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
See that last verse together.
Feels every sorrow, carries the pain.
the Son. We praise you for who you are and what you've done among us. Lord, we thank you that when we were sinners, you gave us new life. We thank you that you gave the orphan a home, that you gave the widow care. Father, we thank you that you stole the keys to hell and the grave. Oh God, may we rest in that today as we read your word and see what you have for us here in your word. God, would you speak to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, friends. Well, thank you, Tracy. Thank you very much. Thank you, Don. That was what a blessing. Jesus does. That's the theme of this entire month, the love of God and what he has done for us and now what he wants to do in us. I remember as a child learning, we're in 1 John chapter 4, by the way, in our series, 1 and 5. So as you're turning to 1 John chapter 4, some of the first Bible verses I ever memorized, apart from John 3:16, were 1 John 4, 7, and 8. I learned it as a cheesy little children's song. And if you're not sure what cheesy means, it's a little hokey. And the rhythm's a little, it's not something you would necessarily do in a worship service like today. But never underestimate the power of children's songs about Jesus. Never underestimate what we can learn there. So I learned these verses as a child, an older child, and I'll never forget it. So I thought I might sing it for you. Don, would you help me out, my friend? So this is the children's version. I want you to hear it once and then maybe you to try to sing it with me. You might have learned it as a child as well, so you may know it. Again, the rhythm's a little strange, but we'll get through it. All right, go ahead.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8.
I can't do the 8 fast enough. Thank you.
That was good. But I think we can take it up another level.
All right.
Hang on.
If we're going to do this, we're going to do this correct.
I've been waiting for this day. If you know it, sing with me. We'll give it a try. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not.
Oh! Okay, they didn't clap. We got to clap. If y'all don't clap, we'll do it again. Let's start again. I'll give you the warning. Triple clap. I feel pretty good about this. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Oh, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8.
Good job, Don. Thank you. So I love that. It's cheesy, I told you, but it's a great way to learn it. So I learned that as a child, and I can't help but share with you a story. I've shared it before, probably twice in the last decade, but it fits. I can't do this passage and not share this story. So I learned that as an older child. And then 8 or 9 years later, this became one of the most defining moments in my life, in my ministry life ever. At 19 years old, I was serving as the minister of music and youth at a church in Bessemer, Alabama, while I was a student at Samford University. And Bessemer in the late 80s, this would have been late 89, early 90, had much racial tension and strife, and there was problems, and there has been issues there for many years after that, but at that time there definitely were, and we were a small country church, really out in the country. Now it's totally swallowed up by the city where that was, but at that time something had happened on this Wednesday in the city, and there was some racial tension. I don't remember if it was a fight, a robbery, what it was, but there was racial tension. The news was talking about it. It was something being talked about. So we come to Bible study that Wednesday night, and as the student pastor, we would bring the teenagers into the adult prayer meeting. We would have the prayer time with them. Then we would go out. They would have their Bible study, and we would have one for the teenagers. So we're gathered in this little sanctuary in Bessemer. And it's a Wednesday night, And this tension has happened today. Something, I don't remember what took place. And it begins to be a topic of discussion in the prayer time. And things turn towards racially motivated talk a little bit. Seems a little bit uncomfortable. Until an older gentleman, sadly, who happened to even be a deacon of the church, stood up and he begins to go on a little rant about what happened in the city. And before he's finished, he ends up making a statement in this prayer meeting. He said, "I praise God for the KKK. I couldn't believe my ears. And so I sat there a little bit in shock and wait. And there's no adult. I'm 19, just barely 19. There's no adult in the room standing and saying, "We can't say that. That's not right." None of that. And so I thought, with these teenagers here, I can't let them think that that is somehow an okay thing to say ever, much less in a prayer meeting in a Christian, in a Baptist church in Bessemer, Alabama. And so I thought, I'm a student at Sanford. I don't really need this job. So I stood up and I heard 1 John 4:7-8 in my mind. And so I just said, 1 John 4:7-8 says, "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And based on that, I don't think you know Jesus." It was a defining moment, okay? Now, I didn't get fired. I don't know how, but I didn't get fired. And, you know, we had a conversation after church and talked a little bit. But the reality was, I knew those teenagers could not let that go by and them hear that. And just know, if you were to ever stand and make a statement like that, I got the same little song for you. But that's a different story, okay? So the truth is, though, it was a defining moment for me. And so now, years later, I've never preached through 1 John. So now as we're preaching through 1 John, I've known every week leading up to this, I think about that story and those people. And those weren't all bad people. Those were some of the most kind people I know who love Jesus. But some can get so sideways through hate and through difficulty and other things that we lose sight of what Jesus has done for us. I'm not trying to make that man out to be a villain. I'm saying his eyes were blinded by the God of this age, even as a man who sought to honor the Lord. And the truth is, there are times we must stand on the scripture and stand in truth. But we must also realize that every last one of us, maybe not to that extreme, because you're thinking, "I'd never get up and say what that man said." And I'm thankful for that. But the truth is, in our hearts and minds, there are places where we have some hate, some anger, some difficulty, where we struggle with a neighbor, a friend, a spouse, I don't know. And we say, "Well, what does God say about the redemption of that?" Well, 1 John chapter 4. That's just one little part of chapter 4. The whole chapter is wonderful, though. So let's read the chapter together, and you'll see a few different points really quickly. First of all, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already." And there's a lot that was said right there in those three verses. Let's talk about them for a moment. First of all, John says to test every prophet and teacher and speaker by their view of Christ. Back in 1989, it was actually early 1990, I was able to test the words that were coming out of the mouth of a Christian leader that were not from Jesus. And it was quick to test and realize it. And so all you're left with is a defense of the gospel. And so we test it. We have to do the same. Now, although this scripture is talking specifically about the Antichrist, it says was already at work among them. That's referring to Satan and referring to those who were not teaching God's message and were changing the message. But the reality is, we believe and we know, as we read the scripture and as we understand what's to come at the end of the church age, there will be a time that the Antichrist, there are many places it's mentioned that are multiple Antichrists Antichrist, anyone against Christ in the scripture, but the Antichrist is coming and could be alive on the planet today. And so people are intrigued by that and want to know, as we see war in Israel, as we think about what's happening, could this be? And who's the Antichrist? And how will they show up? And will we know it? And will we be here? And what will that be? Well, if you want to find the answer, don't go search the internet. If you didn't know, the internet is not the best place for biblical knowledge. If you weren't sure, I would encourage you. There's some great sites on there that give biblical knowledge, but there's a lot of crazy things. If you just search, and don't do it, hang in here with me. If you were to search, who is the Antichrist? You will find Joe Biden. You'll find Donald Trump. You'll find Oprah Winfrey. You'll find Elon Musk. You'll find Walt Disney. You'll find all kinds of answers from people in the world. Don't worry about that. And we're not even talking about the Antichrist. We're talking about the Antichrist. Antichrists that are mentioned here. It's referring to Satan. He is against Christ. It's referring to those that would preach and teach a message contrary to the character of Christ. And so with that in mind, I want you to think through what this passage is saying to us. Basically, the idea is that Satan, the ultimate Antichrist, would want every preacher, teacher, every friend you have, every someone who would speak truth, to distort the character of God and the truth of Jesus in that way. Now, he's specifically here in 1 John 4 talking about Gnostics, people that did not believe Jesus had a true body form. They thought he was only spirit if he was perfect. If he was flesh, he would be imperfect. So they had this false religion and false idea. And he's calling them antichrists, and not to test the spirit. In other words, test the truth of who Jesus is in that. But we can apply this today. I want to encourage you that antichrists exist today, and they dilute the character of Jesus when they make him out to be a self-help genie in a bottle. If you see some preacher or teacher and everything's about God, Jesus came to make you better. Listen, friends, Jesus didn't come to make you better. Jesus came because you were dead and he brought you to life. Jesus came to make us new, not better. He didn't come just to give wealth and prosperity. He came to give us eternal life that walks in the fullness of God on this earth as well. And so it is an antichrist message that would distort the character of God in that way. Antichrist dilute the character of God when they twist his message to suit their own opinions. If you know someone that will preach or teach something or speak something saying this is what God thinks when really it's what they think and not what God thinks, that is the message of an antichrist. You have to test the spirits in that way. Prosperity preachers, legalistic Pharisees, people that would say it is only through the law, and they add weight and they add requirements to what the scripture has already given for salvation. That is its own version of antichrist. It is anyone who denies part of the scripture or subverts it to teach their own idea or message. And why is that an antichrist? Because Jesus is the word and Jesus gave us the word. So I want to encourage you to test the spirit around you for things you hear. I would encourage you every time I stand to speak in this platform right here on this stage, though you have known me for many years, and some of you, I've been your pastor for 12 years and I've been connected to you in ministry for 25 years. The truth is, you should never have a Sunday that you don't test the spirit of what I'm saying. Why? Because if I'm going to speak from God's word, you need to hear the truth of God's word and not just Chris Johnson's opinion of God's word. Because I will do my best to give you the truth from what God is saying here, but I promise you, I will not always get it right. So it is important. Test those spirits. Test what you're learning and what you're hearing from others as well. Let's keep going in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. He goes on to say, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, the Antichrist, for who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, that's a verse you've heard before, too. You might have learned it as a song, as a child as well. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what does John say here? John says, you are from God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you have Jesus in your life, if you have asked him to make his residence in your life, if he has saved you of your sins, what that song Jesus Does says, if he has done that in your life, then the Holy Spirit drew you to salvation. The Holy Spirit seals you in your salvation, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. So you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I wrote it down this way. As a believer, you have been sent from God. You have God inside of you, and God is greater than Satan in the world. Amen? So we can trust him. We can trust him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a statement of trust. We can trust him. Let's keep going. Verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to God. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, he loves that word, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who is born of God knows God. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's what we just sang together. And this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Friends, if you're writing things down, write it down this way. Here's the theme of 1 John. Love is the supreme litmus test of genuine faith. Love is the supreme litmus test of genuine faith. God loved us first. God saved us by his grace that was built on the foundation of his love. God then fills us and seals us with the Holy Spirit, who, it says right here, empowers us to love one another. So there is no rational way that a supernatural, born-again child of God, that's you, there's no way that we can be walking around filled with hate and not loving others. It's not rational that we would do that. It doesn't make sense. In fact, I wrote it down this way. If you are struggling to love others, ask the Lord to use the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the power of God to transform your thinking. You see, friends, I'm not saying you're lost if you're struggling with some hate and you're struggling to love someone. What I'm saying to you, with the backdrop of grace from 1 John, the entire book, we need to understand that it makes no rational sense that a supernatural, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-believing child of God could walk around with hate in their heart at all times. That is not what God wants from us, for you, or in anything of the like. So we must learn and ask him. We simply say, God, help me. I'm struggling with this person. I'm struggling with this relationship. I'm struggling with this boss or this person that works for me or this family member. I'm struggling. So you would ask God by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and the power of God at work, to help change your thinking about them. That's what the scripture would have us to do. Let's keep going. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is complete, perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Those are straightforward words. Verse 17, by this is love perfected, completed in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There we are again. So these are three different verses in this chapter that you learned, you've known a lot of your life. Let us love one another because love is of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You've heard that verse. So what's the context? He says, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected or completed in love. So let's stop and talk about the fear of God for a moment. Multiple scriptures in the Bible, many scriptures, tell us to fear God. It's a concept and a thought all throughout the scripture. But then John also says, perfect love casts out fear. So which is it? Is this a conflict? Is it a conflict to say fear God and to say that perfect love casts out fear? Well, let's unpack it for just a moment, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says this, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And then Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So we have three of the greatest theologians and followers of Jesus to ever live, Paul, Peter, and John, who all tell us that we can fear the Lord. And then John adds, perfect love casts out fear. So what type of fear is it when we fear God? It is an awe-inspired fear of God that will notice his greatness. It notices his power and his holiness. And it is a heavy feeling. It is awesome, awe-filled understanding of the Lord. Now listen, I have to tell you, that's healthy and it's missing in a lot of believers' lives. There are a lot of believers who do not have a healthy fear of God. Now, I don't mean you're fearing that he will zap you. That's not for the life of a believer. The scripture is clear that no one can snatch you out of the hand of God. If you have been saved, he holds you. He's got you in his grip. No one, he's not letting go. No one is. You will not be the one eternal exception to God's rule of salvation. When he says that he will save us by his grace, he will save you by his grace, and you're not going to ruin it with a zap from him because of something you've done. So our fear of him is not the fear that we're going to be made lost all of a sudden, but it's a healthy fear. It's an awesome, inspired, and heavy feeling of who God is and his character and understanding of his holiness. Let me give you an example. There's a phrase I hate. Maybe you use it. I don't like this phrase, and so don't be offended, but I can't stand when someone calls God the man upstairs, the big man upstairs. That's not an awe or fear of who he is. I don't even like it if my kids see me and say, hey, big man. I don't even want them calling me that, okay? And so the reality is the truth is you think it's not an awe-inspired fear of him. So we want to reverence who he is. And it ought to change the way we talk and speak of him. That doesn't mean everything has to be sad and solemn. That's not what it means. But there's a weightiness and a heaviness to who God is and a glimpse of who we are in him and what he has done for us. I believe that we have a flippancy towards God in our church attendance. I believe we have a flippancy toward God in how we treat his word. So it's important that we stop and we say, God, I want to fear your name and fear you in awe and reverence. Again, not afraid he's going to zap us, but in awe and reverence that as his child, he is holy, he is worthy of our praise. But there are those then that the scripture does tell us, it says, he says perfect love casts out fear. He's talking about fear of judgment. He just talked about the judgment day of God that's coming. And so he's saying you don't have to be afraid of the judgment of God that's coming. In Romans chapter 8, it starts with Paul using these words. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. So that idea is that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to have a fear if you are in Jesus of dying and going to hell. You don't have to have a fear of that judgment if you are in Christ Jesus. So the question then is not, am I going to lose my salvation? The question is, are you in or out? Have you given your life to Jesus? If so, no fear. If you're out, if you are not in Christ Jesus and you've never done so, fear is healthy. You should have it. If you're worried about the day to come, listen, I know we look and we've already talked about the end of the church age a little bit today, but there's coming a day when all these things will be set into motion, and what's happening in Israel can surely be part of that, but we don't know all the details and all the information and all of that. But I will tell you, we're going to try to unpack a little bit of that in a couple of weeks. We're going to get through this series first and get into November and take a week to do that. And you may say, but Chris, why wait? It's happening right now. It's going to be happening in a couple of weeks. We're good. So we'll come to that in a couple of weeks and we'll talk about it. But let me say for you today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, the normal type of fear, I'm afraid, that's a pretty good fear to have. Friends, you need to give your life to the Lord. If you do know the Lord, have an awe and respect of who he is and his holiness. But do not fear that day of judgment. You will not be a part of that because of the blood of Jesus and what he's done. What an incredible, incredible God we have. Let's keep going and read the end of it really quickly. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. What a chapter. How many times did he mention loving a brother, loving another? How many times did he mention the word love? Over and over and over. It's a great chapter with so much here for us. So now we've read it all. We've sung a little kid's song. We've looked at some important things. What do we do with this? What is your next step now that we've read 1 John chapter 4? Well, here, let me go back and recap what we read and you find how to apply it to your life. Number one, test the spirit of those speaking into your life. And I don't just mean your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, or the preacher on the radio. Anyone who's speaking into your life that claims to know the Lord. It can be a preacher, a teacher. It could be a musician. It could be someone in the media. It could be your friends or a spouse. Test the spirit of those speaking in your life. Test what they are teaching against the word of God and the character of God. If they are giving you advice or if they are telling you something that is contrary to what God's word and God's character shows, then do not believe that. Walk away from that. Don't do that. But not only test the spirit of others who speak, can I encourage you for just a moment to test your own spirit? Test the spirit of what you say to others. Sometime this week, someone's going to say, here's what's going on. What do you think? It's going to happen. And with a friend, a family member, a child, a spouse, they're going to tell you about something at work, at home, at school, in their own life, in the neighborhood, and you're going to have an opportunity to insert your opinion. And before you insert it, can I encourage you to stop and say, let me test this against the word of God. How do you do that? Think through what you've read of the word of God, what you know of the truth of God's word, what you know about the character of Jesus, and then take what you're about to say and throw it up against the wall of God's word. And if it sticks, say it. And if it falls off, don't say it. How do you know? Listen, friends, if you've got a friend that's struggling and you're about to tell them to take some devious action to get back at somebody because you just love your friend and you want to protect them, listen, that will never stick against the wall of God's word. If you find yourself dealing with someone and they're struggling in some financial way and something's going on, and so you're going to give them a little advice that might be considered cheating on their taxes a little bit, listen, that will never stick against the wall of God's word. If you're going to give them some advice to do something that is not God-honoring, and maybe it doesn't look that bad and it's whitewashed in that regard, but the truth is it is not what Jesus would have you to do, listen, that will never stick to the word of God. So even test your own spirit when it comes to what we will say. Oh, I want to do that. I want to do that every Sunday. When I prepare a message, here's how that works for me. I'll start usually on Monday afternoon with some reading, then really try to just see what God has for the message from Monday afternoon, really Tuesday, and then I try to be finished by noon on Wednesday. You say, why noon Wednesday? It's just my own deadline I gave myself. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. But the reality is I do that because I then want to be able to take when it's all finished and at least once later and maybe a second time later to go back and look and say, does this measure up to what God would want to say? Am I putting my own opinions and thoughts in here? Is this really what God meant in the context of the scripture and how we apply it to our lives? And I have learned about myself, I've got to ask the questions a couple of times and not just in one sitting. And so maybe for you, when it comes to giving advice, to being an encourager, to speaking words, whether they're going to be positive or negative words, stop. Does this match up to the character of God? Test the spirits of those around us. And you may say, Chris, are you telling me you would call me an antichrist? I'm telling you that if you are saying something that is contrary to the character of Jesus, the Bible would call you an antichrist. That's strong words. I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to not be against Christ and his character and his truth. I want to be right there in step with what he's saying. Oh, that's what I want, and I hope you do as well. Second, what we learn from this chapter is this. Remind yourself that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what does that mean? If you got a circumstance in your life that's tough, you've got some fear and anxiety about something going on, if there's something in this world happening or in your own little world or in your life or with your health or in your family or in your workplace or in your neighborhood or just in your mind and heart, I don't know, but if there's something that's causing you great concern, here's what I would say to you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you can trust Jesus. You can trust his word. You can trust his plan. And for nothing else, let me say to you, hold on. Don't give up. There's coming a day he'll make all things new. We can trust that. The third idea here from this passage that we've read is this, is that love is the supreme litmus test of genuine faith. So if you're struggling to love others, ask the Lord to use the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the power of God to transform your thinking. Listen, I'm not encouraging you just to feel bad about yourself. No, if you've got a little conviction that it's a struggle for you and you're struggling with some resentment or difficulty, maybe it's towards a person or a people, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Dig into God's Word. Look for answers of how to live that out. Ask God to transform your heart and mind. And then lastly, no matter what you see on the news, no matter what you read online, no matter how dark and grim things may come to get in your life, right here this week in Albertville, Alabama, or Crossville, Alabama, or Boaz, or Gunnsville, wherever you're from, here's what I would say to you. Fear God, but not the future. Listen, friends, fear God. Honor him, but you don't have to fear your future. Listen, no matter how bad things are in your life right now, if you know Jesus, this earth is the closest to hell you're ever going to get. Can you imagine? The good and glorious God has made a way that we can walk new and free and whole in him. And I love this earth and so many things about it, but it pales in comparison to eternity with him. So fear God and not your future. He has a plan. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Will you apply this to your life with your heads bowed? Test the spirit of those speaking into your life. Test your own spirit for how you speak to others and to yourself. Remind yourself that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be reminded that love is a litmus test for faith in God, and that it just makes no rational sense that we would walk around with resentment and hate and prejudice and any other number of difficult things if we truly had the love of God in us. So ask him to change us. And then if you're dealing with some anxiety, some worries, some fear, fear God, but not the future. Father God, I pray for every person in this room that we might be able to find a way to take what we've learned in 1 John in these 21 verses, and that we might apply it to our lives. Oh God, help me to test the spirits of those around me. I want to, and to be sure what I'm saying is always of you, and what I say to individuals. Lord, help me to test that when I speak to my family, how I speak to myself. Help me with that, Father. Father, help me when things seem to be difficult around us to be reminded that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Help me to be reminded of that. Father, I pray that also I would have a holy reverence and awe of who you are. That every person in this room would as well. And that when things are difficult, we would fear you in awe, but not fear the future. So God, if there's one person here today that needs to give their life to you, that's a legitimate fear they have. They need Jesus. God, I pray that they would come and do so. Let me pray with them. Father, for others that have a need, something that we've talked about that sparked a thought in their mind, the Holy Spirit's used it to bring about someone to pray for or a situation to pray for, or maybe they just want to come and pray about their own life. Lord, that they would come as we pray with them. There are other decisions to be made, Father, that you'd have your way among us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So friends, we're going to sing Take My Life.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.